This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, January 18, 2017. Ariana McNeil writes in the Salem News, City Hall remained closed for the rest of the business day after an underground electrical fire forced its evacuation in Beverly early Tuesday morning and caused high carbon monoxide readings. Firefighters were called to Beverly City Hall at 7:48 a.m. initially for smoke coming out of a nearby manhole. Shortly after, the department was notified that fire alarms were going off in City Hall, according to Beverly Fire Lieutenant Ryan Laracy. Kevin Hartunian, chief of staff to Mayor Michael Cahill, said he was in a meeting with a couple of city councilors when the lights flickered and went off and the fire alarm went off. Also, the building was immediately evacuated. National Grid cut power to the buildings. According to Laracy, no one was injured. Along with City Hall, TD Bank and Bank of America, along with apartments on top across Thorndike Street from City Hall, were evacuated as a precaution. Ariana McNeil continues, while City Hall remained closed, the other buildings reopened with power restored around 1 p.m. The fire was caused by the insulator on some electrical wiring, according to the fire department. The smoke and carbon monoxide traveled down the electrical line and into City Hall. While a fire was easily extinguished, it took the fire department quite a while to ventilate the buildings. Crews pushed the smoke and fumes into one part of the building and one opening. City Council meeting scheduled for Tuesday night in Beverly was also postponed until 7 p.m. next Monday as a precaution. Lynn is taking a stand on violence. Bill Newell has that story.
After six weekend shootings that left five people shot, one fatally, and one woman caught in the crossfire who narrowly avoided being hit by a bullet that went through the driver's side window of her car, about 40 residents and elected officials gathered at City Hall on Tuesday to try to come up with ways to stop the violence. Gayla Colley writes on today's front page of the Daily Item of Lynn, City Councilor Brian LaPierre, City Councilor and member of Stop the Violence Committee member Peter Capano, and Interim Police Chief Lenny Desmaris fielded questions at the forum. Capano said a few years ago there was lots of gang activity in the city, which prompted a group of local citizens to come together and form Stop the Violence. Quote, the point is, I think the most constructive use of the time is that if we can talk about prevention, because we can't stop what happens day to day. Capano told the gathered residents, we try, we do the best that we can, but we think working together to reach out to some of these kids getting into trouble is what we need to do. We need to do a better job of it. Leif Martin said that he's lived in Lynn for a couple of years, but his wife was born and raised in the city. Quote, when we bought the house here, I was told by family, I have a ton of family in Lynn, I was told that all of this gang violence was gone. A lot of these gangs were gone. So I was kind of surprised when I read this weekend that there were gang wars. Are gangs a bigger problem than we're led to believe? Desmaris said gang violence and gangs are an issue in Lynn, but couldn't say at this time if the shootings over the weekend are gang-related. Tony Seaforth spoke about opening up the schools at night to give kids somewhere to go. Ben Castellano spoke about a fundraiser he ran over the weekend where friends only wanted to talk about the shootings. Desmaris says it's been several years since there was a similar spree of violence, but he said that there's been no arrest definitely related to the shootings. There's more on this story in today's edition of the Daily Item of Lynn. I'm Bill Newell for North Shore Today, MSO News Sports. Rick?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bill. Ethan Foreman writes in the Salem News, planners Tuesday night spoke about their vision for 14 acres around Maple Street in Danvers, envisioning a mix of attractive shops on the ground floor with residents above in what is now a hardscrabble industrial area just off the downtown, dominated by electric heater maker Hotwatt. The future of the area, which includes other businesses and workers' cottages, is in flux. The zoning consultant hired by the town, Ted Brovitz of Brovitz Community Planning and Design, LLC, said Hotwatt could be moving from the neighborhood in about a year, so the question then becomes what will become of the mostly industrial area. It's a question the town's planning department and planning board have been wrestling with for years. Consultants for the town of Danvers are proposing the creation of an overlay smart growth zoning district with the goal of spurring attractive development at the intersection of Hobart and Maple Streets, where Hotwatt is located now. The idea would be to create a walkable mix of shops, sandwich shops, offices, or other businesses along the street. More on that story with Ethan Foreman in the Salem News. Bridget Turcotte writes on itemlive.com, Avalon Bay is proposing keeping the Hilltop Steakhouse iconic cactus sign on Route 1 in Saugus with modifications to fit the incoming development, a $100 million development that includes 280 apartments in three buildings at the rear of the property and about 24,000 square feet of retail space in front. Plans include parking throughout and a parking garage at the back of the former site of the 52-year-old Landmark Family Restaurant, which closed in 2013, according to Michael Roberts, Avalon Bay Community's Senior Vice President of Development. The proposal was presented to Saugus Town Manager's Economic Development Committee Tuesday night. The apartment buildings are configured to form a landscape courtyard between them with outdoor amenities including a pool, grilling stations, outdoor fireplaces, and dog parks. There will be 16 studio, 122 one-bedroom, and 142 two-bedroom apartments with 1.62 parking spaces per unit, according to Roberts. And, of course, more on this story, along with a nice picture in itemlive.com, story written by Bridget Turcotte. Ray Lamont writes in today's Gloucester Times, Gloucester police are on the prowl for coyotes, but are urging residents not to do the same. Police have stepped up patrols around Rocky Neck and in other parts of the city, said Interim Police Chief John McCarthy on Tuesday morning, according to Ray Lamont. The increased patrols come in the wake of a Sunday night incident in which a coyote attacked a family's poodle, then turned and threatened two women who had tried to intervene behind their porch on Sumac Lane. The dog had to be euthanized. Chief McCarthy is quoted as saying, "We did have more patrols down there Monday, and we will probably be doing that for the next week or two at least." He cautioned residents to resist any inkling of taking actions on their own. In addition to coyotes having state wildlife protections, McCarthy noted that the Massachusetts law precludes anyone from discharging a firearm from within 500 feet of a residence. More on this story with Ray Lamont in today's Gloucester Times. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.